that we will go to heaven. Amen? And we have a hope that when we pray that there's somebody out there that will answer our prayer. Amen? But you know, I have met many people, including Christians, that say, I hope I go to heaven. I hope I've been a good enough person to go to heaven, but I'm not sure. And when you're not sure, you worry. And you stew and you fret. It affects their prayer life. It affects their just their own security. I can't imagine being on my deathbed worried whether I was good enough to get into heaven. Because I know what the answer is. No. Not at all. And so our hope has to be built upon something larger than ourselves or some other thing that is out there. Our hope has to be strong. So in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23, Paul tells us why our hope is 100% secure in heaven. It's not based upon fallible man like the brake repair man. It is based upon Christ Jesus. And it can't be any more secure than that, folks. In verses 15 through 20, Paul tells us why we can base our hope on Christ and that it is secure. And he does this by giving us four He is statements about Christ. First of all, in verse 15, look at it. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things. Get it? Tell the person next to you, all things were created by him. Plain and simple. Paul says that when we put our hope in Christ, we are putting it in God himself, who is over all, who has authority over all, who created this world. John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, that's what Paul means here by saying that he's the firstborn. In the beginning, before anything else, God was the Word. And that Word is Christ. And it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no difference. They're the same thing. Christ, God. He was with God in the beginning. So when Paul is saying that he is the image and the firstborn, it doesn't mean that Christ, you have God here and Christ here. No. It's looking at the same person. It's like if you go stand in front of the mirror, is that image you? Yeah. It displays exactly who you are. You know, all your attributes. And so it's as if when Christ came here on earth, it was this God was standing in front of a mirror. and we can look at him, and we could see all of God's attributes in him. And one of those attributes is that he created everything. He created the physical world and the spiritual world. He is the power over all rulers and powers and thrones and authorities, both here on earth and in heaven. That's why Scripture says if he is for us, then who can stand against us? And the rhetorical answer is no one. That's what you got to come to the conclusion, because there is no one that can snatch you and your hope away from God. Because he is God. Everything was made by him. In fact, one of the words in God's vocabulary is not oops. Oh, it's you. Oops. No, that doesn't work. He made the world. He declared it as good. He says that you can trust in him for your forgiveness, for your redemption, that you can trust in him for his grace and his mercy, and it is a hope that is 100% secure by the maker, the builder. Do you have a hope in the builder of this world? 100%? The one true God? Well, let me give you another reason, or let Paul give you another reason in verse 17. Paul writes, he is, there's a second he is statement, before all things and in him all things hold together. Not only did Christ make this world, but now he holds it together, he sustains it. There is nothing out of his control, plain and simple. It's kind of like if you had a house built by a builder, and after the house was built, and the builder comes and lives with you, so that if something were to break, boom, it's right there, he fixes it. Boom, it's right there, fixes it. But in this world, what happens when you have a house built? You're lucky to find the builder again. Isn't that true? But with us as Christ, we have the creator of the world that is sustaining that. When chaos rises up around us, we often wonder, even as Christians, where's God? When a child dies, where's God? We're caught in a flood or a fire or some other disaster. Where's God? That was the number one question asked me when I went back to New York after 9/11. People were saying, where's God in all this? Did he leave us alone? Well, Paul is telling us that Jesus, who created this world, who created everything around it and has authority over everything around it, is still in his heaven. He is still with us. He's still in the process of building this world and making this world and repairing this world, and we're a part of it. And as Christians, we have a hope that God is still in heaven. That doesn't mean we might have a crisis of faith. Because as humans, we have crisis of faith, don't we? One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 77. The psalmist starts out by saying, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. You see, he's putting his faith into practice because he has a hope that there's somebody up there. But what happens? He goes on and says, when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. Wow. That's a crisis of faith, folks. He has a hope. His soul is troubled, and his faith is shaken. We all do. We all have that happen. But what can rebuild that faith? What can make that faith stronger? It is something that isn't shaken. It is our hope. The psalmist finally ends up by saying this, then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. He's appealing to that hope that the Most High is still in his heaven, and though chaos surrounds me, I can trust that there's a God in heaven, the Most High. So not only did Christ build this world, he sustains it. He holds it together. Now for the Christian, in verse 18, Paul gives a third reason for our hope, and that is that he is the head of the body, the church. When you are a Christian, you're a member of the church body. You're a child of God. Did you realize that? Not born of man, but born of God. And as such, as a member of the body, you have a heavenly advocate that stands for you. When I was a police chaplain, I found that the police officers have a union. And that union, part of the reason for that union is that if you were in trouble, say you got in an officer-involved shooting or you did something wrong, the union would provide a lawyer for you. And you could, if you were a member of the police union, you could tell and be assured that you would have a lawyer. But me, as a police chaplain, I wasn't a police officer. And so if I got in trouble, never did. I'm not supposed to lie in church. But if I got in trouble, I had no standing with that police union. And so I could not expect any advocate to come and advocate for me. And it's the same way as a Christian. As a Christian, you're a member of the body. And who is the head of the body? God, Christ. Yeah, exactly. And he advocates for you. He sits at the right hand of God, and he advocates for you. And he tells God, yeah, he blew it this time, but you know what? I gave my life for that sin. And so you have an advocate by the head of the church, pure and simple. That is another reason why your hope is in heaven. Now then, finally, the last reason. Paul says in verse 18 that he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. The last thing that Christ had to do when he created the world and when sin came into the world was to conquer death, to conquer that sin that causes death. Last week, two weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, which celebrates the fact that he had died on the cross for our sins and conquered death and rose again from the grave in order that we might be redeemed. Pure and simple. Verse 19 says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, just as God the Son Jesus created the world and brought it to perfection and harmony, sin destroyed that. And God, from that moment on, with Adam, began his process of redemption, of conquering sin and then dying in order to conquer death. That's why he's called the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first one to rise again. Verse 21 through 23, Paul reminds us where we once stood before we accepted Christ and where we stand now. He says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." You might say, "Well, I wasn't really evil. I just..." You know, or you might be saying, I don't need to confess Christ as my Savior. That's what he means by being enemies of God. See, God has a will that everybody accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And if you say, I don't need to do that, that's organized religion or anything, what you're doing is you are going against the will of God. Therefore, you are an enemy of God. He goes on to say, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death in order to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and not moved from the hope that is held out to you in the gospel." A hope that is secure. It's secure in the creator of this world, who rules over all authorities and rulers of powers, who holds this world together, sustains it, who is the head of the church, and who died on the cross and then rose again to conquer death. Now, I wish I could sing, but many of you know that if I sang, it would sound like a cow stuck in the mud. So guess what? I'm not going to sing. But I had a song, a hymn, going through my mind ever since I started looking at this passage. I'll read the words to you. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." My friends, if you have not put your hope in Jesus Christ, if that hope is not firm 100%. If you worry about your salvation, I pray that you will talk to me, Pastor Bob back there, maybe even your neighbor or the person you came with. Talk to them and find out the reason for their hope being 100% secure. It's not built on fallible man. It's built on the rock, on Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray that you would just let us take this message. Let it just input it into our hearts so that it would never waver. Let us understand not only in heart but in soul that we have built our life. We have confessed the solid rock, the hope. Father, I pray that we would take this message and that we would take it out among other people and share it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.